Well, it's truly a humble thing to stand before you tonight with the Word of God open. And I just feel like, who am I? Yes. And what is my Father's house in Israel? I've thought so many times, as I'm sure many of you who are sanctified have, of all the people on this earth, 6 billion people, why me? Yes. It just does something to you. Yes. When you begin to consider that Christ died for you. Just insert your name in the blank. Christ died for you. And he didn't just die a death. He died a cruel and painful death at the hands of wicked men. And he didn't just bear the punishment, or rather the pain of the whip. He didn't just take the nails in his hands and his feet. He bore the sin of the world, of all the world, forever through all generations. That includes your sin. He bore that. It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was the love for you. That was our Jesus that did that. Is that your Savior? Can you say, that is my Savior? That is my Jesus. Can you say tonight, I love you, Jesus. I love you more than anything in this world. I love you. After singing that song this week, if it takes me from my country, if it takes me from my home, as you know, maybe you can get with country and home, but here's a tough one for us folks in the South. You know, if it takes me from my kindred, I don't know the words, but I like to sing it. I mean to make heaven my home, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. I tell you, when you get down on your knees in prayer and you begin to tell Christ whatever the cost, buddy, you better buckle up. You better buckle up. Young folks, I'm like the rest of y'all. I would thoroughly enjoy the young folks meeting. I just could have stood back there. Yeah, we could have done young folks part two. But it was thrilling. I'd love to hear, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, the doctrine that came out this morning. You could tell y'all are in the Word. And I thought about it. I tell you what, when you strike the rock, you know it. Because the hammer shakes in your hands. And when you get into the Word of God will call parts of you into the light. The Spirit will do that. I'm talking about being sanctified. It will call parts of who you are into the light. And it will say, we're going to talk about this. And it'll shake. The hammer shakes in your hand. And that is okay. That is part of growing. And let's be honest. I mean, look, I'm preaching to myself. But that is what God wants us to do. He wants to constantly teach us and mold us and make us more and more like Jesus. But it says in Romans, grace reigns through righteousness. He doesn't want to teach you through habitual sin. He wants to teach you through righteous living in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Daily walking, every single day. You know, and I know we love the song, just to have a little talk with Jesus, but it better be more than a little talk. It better be a serious talk. You know, if I had just a little talk with my wife every once in a while, our relationship would not grow. It would deteriorate. And not me, I mean everybody knows that. You have to have frequent and often and honest and open and constant conversations, bearing yourself before the Lord and asking Him to show you more. Because look, if I was thinking about this at camp meeting, when they were, Sister Flora was reading off those churches, those letters, I was standing over there thinking, well, goodness, Lord, I know you didn't leave me out. If all them churches with all they were bearing and God had something for them, you think that He doesn't have something for Christ Sanctified Holy Church? Yes, He absolutely does. You think He doesn't have something for Patrick Collins? He absolutely does. He's got some things He wants to tell us. And in order to listen, you got to be quiet. So, I don't mean to say that, but I love you all tonight. My heart and mind has been deeply moved lately by the Sermon on the Mount. And I hope with God's help to bring out just some of this scripture to you. I've been talking and thinking, talking to a few folks back home in Leesburg, and it's created a lot of thought. And one thing that just keeps going over my mind, I've just been thinking about the first things first. Let's do the first things first. People, especially the human race, at least every person I've ever met, myself included, we have a grand gift to take one something and make it into a lot of nothing. It just, and I'm worse one, you know. It just, you just, whether it's a problem, whether it's a worry, whether it's a care, whether you just go, your mind, and before you know it, you'll be way on the backside of nowhere thinking about something that's not going to happen for 6 months. And it's just, you know, don't borrow trouble, is, you know, is, but that's just the way our brains work. I mean, at least my brain does. I mean, can I get an amen? Anybody else? Can you get with me on this? Yes? Okay. Y'all were thinking I was the only one here. Everybody looking at me like, I mean, it's just the way our minds work. And so we have this unfortunate tendency, and many times it is a good thing, planning and such, but we have this unfortunate tendency, especially with serious things, to overcomplicate things and forget. Just do the first things first. Take the first step. Yes. And then trust.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I know, look, brother, that's a tough thing to do. But look, here's words in red. This is Jesus. This is the most amount of text that I've found, at least in the New Testament. I'm not sure about the Old, but definitely in the New. Dedicated to one sermon is the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount 5, 6, and 7. And this is Christ himself preaching what really would become the tenets and principles of his entire ministry. And then on and eventually the tenets and principles of the entire gospel and the church itself. So needless to say, it was an important sermon. So in considering that, you might also consider that what he said, he took great care in saying. He chose his words carefully. And so here we go. In the 24th verse of the 6th chapter, brother, thank you for the water. In the 24th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament. Yes. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Riches. You can't serve God and riches. Wealth. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. This is what he said. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment, or garments, clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit, or one inch is fine, you could say, unto his stature? You could think all day and all night about wanting to be taller, and you will never, ever, ever get taller by that. I mean, at least after obviously you've grown and such. And why take ye thought for raiment? Again, clothing. Consider the lilies of the field. They grow not. They toil not. Neither do they spin. Take outside. Look at the beauty of a flower. Really look. Stop and look. And consider. They're not worried about that. They're not thinking about how they're arrayed. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon was the height of Israel, the richest king. You go read Ecclesiastes, he had everything, had all the money, had all the everything a man could ever want. So it goes to follow. He could have bought any clothes, anywhere, ever built, period, right. End of story. And even Solomon, with all of his wealth, all of his glory, it says, was not arrayed, was not clothed like a simple flower. Like one of these, says the scripture. Wherefore, if God so... Now he's applying the teaching. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven,
right,
shall he not much more clothe You, O ye of little faith.
Yeah, that's right.
The grass, the flowers, you know, the semi-annual, annual, whatever, they come, they go. And back then, people cut them and they burned them for fuel so they could stay warm. And God clothed them in more glory and majesty than the wealthiest man that ever lived. Now take faith. He's going to clothe you.
Yeah, that's right.
Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after, he says in, right here in parentheses, he throws, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The people that don't serve or trust in God, this is what they're going after.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, don't take thought about this.
Yes.
And then he says, listen to this. Really, really let this sink down into your heart. And say in your very soul, folks, if you're serving the Lord, for your heavenly Father knoweth.
Right.
If you're not serving the Lord, for your heavenly Father knoweth. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Yes.
He knows. Have you ever had a problem in life and you just gone to Lord in prayer?
Yeah.
And said, Lord, you know.
Yeah.
Some powerful words.
Right.
Just laid it out in front of him. All, I mean, you got one right now. Let's be honest. Everybody in this room has got a problem in life that you can't solve. And you just go to him and lay it out before him and say, God, you know. I don't know. But you know. Just give it to him. You know. You've always known. I tell you what, it's a powerful thing. And then he tells us, 33rd verse, and this is, but seek ye first. First things first. Are you hearing me tonight? Do you realize what this means? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Do you understand what this means? Do you understand what Jesus is saying? All these things of the world, the money, the cars, the riches, the clothes, the reputation, the education, all of these things, they're not the first things first.
That's right.
Seek the first things first. The first thing is the kingdom of God. And the rest of it will be added in good order. Or maybe not at all. Because if we're really honest, which we aren't, at least not publicly, but privately, I think most people are fairly honest with themselves. And, you know, if you're really honest with yourself, if you go home, and I've done it, y'all have done it, they've heard the joke, I've quipped it myself, first world problems. Anybody ever heard that? First world problems? I mean, I was riding down the road the other day, my AC broke. And I'm just like, man, it's hot. I mean, it's South Georgia. It's 90 degrees outside. It's hot. And I'm just sitting there thinking, gotta get this fixed. And then it dawned on me, like, back in the 50s, this is where everybody rode around. You roll your ass, which is normal. I remember talking to Grandma one time, and y'all know Grandma, but she went to every camp meeting. I said, Grandma, how in the world did y'all do this without AC? She said, we didn't know any different, honey.
Right.
You know, I've traveled for business a little bit, seen some folks. Y'all, you talk about poor. We don't know what poor is.
Right.
We don't. Look, I'm not condemning anybody for that. I'm thankful, like the rest of you all are. But we don't know what need. You talk about need, you talk about hungry.
Right.
I've never been hungry a day in my life. Think about that. Have you ever missed a meal? Seriously. Have you ever missed a meal? Maybe by choice, but have you ever been to the cupboard and opened the door and there was nothing there to eat? Maybe you have, but I have not, and I think if it's, it may be a handful at best, someone who can say they have. My point in all this is that something else has to be stirring up all this taking thought. It's not logical, but yet we all do it. So who is the one that's stirring us up to take thought for all these things that we are so evidently supplied? It's the devil. It's his business to get in there and to get our minds thinking on anything but the first things. And that can be good or bad. I've known men, I've met men, you know, and honestly, it's very easy to be one that are so concerned about the next rung on the ladder, they will give anything just to get the promotion or just to get it. If I just had $500 more a month, we would be all right. Just 500 more. Then you get 500. If I just had 1,000 more a month, we'd be all right. Then you get 1,000. If I had 1,500. It never ends. You work your whole life. You get 60. Right. You finally retire. And then you have a heart attack. Right. You just spent all that time. You get in the room. I mean, you're finally in the room. You're finally there with the big bosses. And he turns to you and he says, "What do you think?" And you tell him what you think. Okay, great. And you leave and you just feel empty. You just feel empty. And you're like, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing here? It really starts hitting when you get to be about where I'm at, you know, mid-30s, 40s. You start looking around, you're like, man, the first so ever went pretty fast, and the next aren't slowing down. And you really start to economize your time. You start to really think, what am I doing? What am I doing here? Do I really want to do that? This is why people have midlife crises. Because I think, that's just me, but you just, because they start realizing that I've reached the top of the ladder and I've climbed the wrong ladder.
Yeah, that's right.
The first things first. Talk about young people. If you seek the first things first, you don't have to worry about the rest of it. We don't care. Nobody cares, really. Nobody cares if you're the top salesman of the best company in the whole world. What difference does it make if you die and go to hell? I see these young, I'm just going to start preaching now. I see all these young people, and they're telling me about Stephen Curry and LeBron James. I see all these ladies, and they're telling me about Taylor Swift. And I'm like, folks, do you realize when they die, they're going to hell?
Yeah. Right.
If they're not sanctified, I don't know their testimony. Clearly, I don't know these people, but you can read some fruits pretty evidently. And let me tell you something. The first things first are what matter, and it's the devil's business to get you off of what matters and get you involved in what doesn't matter. That's what he's about, and he does it all the time. So then the 34th verse, he drops this like a hammer. Christ says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow." This is what he's trying to say. He's not trying to set you up for some like litmus test where you just like sell all your possessions and jump out. I mean, sure, if that's what God calls you to do, but what the teaching is really trying to drive home is that there are things that are more important and you're not going to be here for very long.
Yes,
let it go.
Yes.
And seek the first things first.
Amen.
Let it go. And then come back to me when you got the first things, when you're seeking the kingdom of God, and talk to me and I will start adding them back. Because let's be really honest. There's some folks in here, you don't have any business. If you got $100 million tonight, there's some folks in here in 10 years, you'd be broke again.
Yeah.
You have no idea what to do with that money. You don't. I'm one of them. There's things in this world that are responsibilities. And the devil perverts them into people thinking that they're everything. And this is why I am 110% convinced. I'm going to read some scripture and hopefully you will be convinced as well. This is why, one of the reasons why, I'm not going to say it is the reason why. That would be a huge leap. I prayed about this a lot. And the reason, one of the reasons Christ called out riches specifically is because riches are, Brother Jeff talked about the facade. They are a facade. Because people believe they can do for you what God intends to do for
right.
you. And it's because they can to a great degree. All right? Again, I talked about the broken AC. All right, so if I don't have any money, which depends, you know, on the month and such. But if I'm rolling home and I don't have money to take that car to the mechanic, guess who's got to fix that AC before Lauren gets in the car? I do, yeah. Right? So riches facilitate that. Yeah. Okay? You got another baby coming, need a bigger house? Maybe you think, maybe you don't, but that's what you think. Riches facilitate that. And it can be a good thing, too. Someone's sick, you can't get there, they have a need, riches can facilitate that. But a lot of what people want to use money for is they think it's going to give them peace.
Right.
They think it's going to give them safety.
Yes.
They think it's going to give them health.
Yeah.
They think it's going to give them joy. They think it's going to give them happiness.
Yeah.
They think it's going to help them find themselves and beautify themselves. They think that they can be prettier because of it. It's standing in the place of where God wants to stand. And so he says, he's using this as a principal teaching so that you can take this and understand. You got to put that away and seek the first things first. And I will add back to you after that the rest of the things. Okay? And so... I was going to read. I literally can't see the clock. All right, so, we're all right. We're all right. I mean, we ain't got nothing else to be, you know. But it's not just time, though. I'm genuinely concerned that I'll lose everybody. The Spirit helps us, you know, when in our failures and in our weakness. And when we don't have, he comes in. He doesn't just fill in the gaps. I mean, he puts his hand in our backs and takes us places where we never thought we could go because we couldn't. And so it says here in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives this wonderful teaching on the seed. And he gives different types of seed. He says, a sower went forth to sow, and some fell on by the wayside, and the fowls devoured it. Some fell on stony places,
yeah.
And it got no root, and it didn't spring up. And some fell among thorns, and it was choked, and it brought no fruit to perfection. And then some fell... And good ground in 30, 60, and 100.
Yeah.
And then he begins to explain the teaching. And he talks about, you know, the first one is the fowls of the wayside. Those are those that hear and didn't want to listen. You know, and then there's the one where it fell on the stony ground and immediately the devil came and took the seed.
Yeah.
And then there was the one, and it gets down to this last before the hundredfold. He says that, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word.
Right.
We don't talk about this enough. And the care of this world.
Yeah. Right.
And the deceitfulness of riches.
Right. Lies of the devil.
Choke the word.
Yeah.
And it becometh unfruitful. It will choke you out.
That's right.
It will choke you out.
Yeah.
It will choke all your time. It will choke whatever talent God gave you.
Yes.
It'll choke whatever mental energy God brought to you. It will choke it all out. And if you don't have time to be quiet and alone before the Lord, then He can't tell you what you need to be learning.
Yeah.
And if you give your life to something, riches and mammon and just chasing the world, the cares of that will weigh you down and it'll choke you out. And the church is only as strong as its weakest member. And so if it's choking you, it's choking me. And vice versa. If I'm leading my family down that road headlong, I'm choking you. Because we're together on this. So the antidote is to do the first things first. The first things first. And so, flipping back over, by now I pray to God you're saying, well, okay, what are the first things? And it says here in the 7th verse, the same sermon. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. What man of there of you, of whom a son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
Yes.
You want to know how to find the kingdom of God? Then you need to seek the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And in seeking the kingdom of God, it doesn't take knowledge. It doesn't take prerequisites. You know, you don't have to. And again, this is a trick of the devil. I'm talking to you, if you're lost tonight, the devil will have you spinning and spinning and spinning like a top, thinking about all the things and all the ways you got to fix up your life before you come to Christ. And that is a lie of the devil. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You do the first things first. Seek him right now. With all the knowledge and faith you got, whatever that is, little or much, but you go because your life depends on it. Everything depends on it. Eternity depends on it. Leave it off. Leave off thinking about it and puzzling about it and wondering about it and trying to fit. What am I going to do? I've talked to people and they've said, well, if I go to the altar, that's fine. You know, that's great. I'll be sanctified. But look, when I get up, I still got problems. And they're right. Think about, look, what I'm going back to, you don't even know, brother. You don't know what I'm going home to. And they're right. But Jesus knows.
Yes, he does.
You know the difference between a sanctified person and an unsanctified person? Is the Holy Spirit. We all came the same way. You seek God by faith. And when you repent of your sins and you tell him I'm sorry and you mean it from the bottom of your heart, and you tell him I'm done with my world, my ways, my wishes, and my everything, you lay it all down at the altar and said, I'm turning my back on it, Lord, and I'm going your way no matter what the cost. And he'll come and he'll forgive you. You'll know it. You'll feel it. The burden will be lifted. You feel like you can skip, hop, and jump. I don't care if you're 30 or 73. You will. The burden will be gone because the blood was shed. And then when you come back, you say, well, I don't want to go back to where I was, so I need something to take me to where I'm going.
Right.
So you come back to the altar, and you pray again, and you say, Lord, fill me. I'm seeking you with everything I got. You fill me with your Holy Spirit. You sanctify my heart. You seal this covenant that I'm making with you right now. Promise, signed and printed from heaven. I got something to go back out into the world with. I got a nature change. I got a new life. I got a new heart. I got a new mind. And I'm going to meet the world with your power where in the past I failed. You tell me, what's wrong with that? That sounds like the prettiest thing to me. I will never, and I know you will never tire. The hope of the gospel is that he can change a man's heart and life forever and for eternity. That's what we're preaching. Transformation. We're preaching change tonight. We're preaching a new life. Do you realize that when you change, everything changes? The circumstances are the same, but what's in here is different. And you go out, that's like the brother said, Brother Max, boy, he hit the nail on the head. He said, I went to camp meeting. I didn't want to go to the altar. Can't remember exactly what he said it. But then he said, but I went. He said, after I got sanctified, I left. I was a changed man.
Amen.
Bless
the Lord.
That's the gospel right there.
Amen.
I was a changed man.
Amen.
When you get sanctified, you are a changed man. You are a changed woman, and the circumstances are the same, but you have the battlements of heaven.
Amen.
And God himself in your corner.
That's right.
Tell me now what circumstance he cannot handle. He can take care of it. It won't be the way you took care of it, but he can take care of it. But you have to seek the first things first. And you seek him. And I had it turned down in Hosea. It says, ye shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Maybe Jeremiah, but anyway, that's the text, wherever it's found. You find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I'll say this in closing and give an altar call. I pray somebody will seek the Lord. Just come forward and pray. If you're going to lose something, you want to lose something that isn't important to you. If you have to lose something, I'd like to lose some Tupperware. because it's cheap and easy to replace. So when you lose something like that, you don't look for it very hard, do you? Most people don't. I'm sure somebody does, but most people don't. You write it off, whatever. If you lose something dear to you, if you lose your child, you're going to write it off? You're going to search for that child with all your heart.
That's right.
And fathers and mothers, know tonight, if God forbid your kid went missing, do you think you would wait until the cops came and told you exactly how to find that baby? You think you'd go to somebody and say, would you please talk me through the process on how I might find my child? Absolutely not. You would get straight to finding that baby with every capacity you had, every dollar you had, until the end of time. You would. That's how precious it is to you. And when you seek God that way, you will find Him.
Amen.
You don't have to have the words. You don't have to have the theology. You don't have to have the knowledge. You don't have to wait for somebody to tell you how to do it. You just go. And you go with all your heart. And if you go that way, He will grant your request because His promises are true. Now as we stand, if anybody wants the Lord, come to the altar and come that way and you'll find Him faithful tonight.
Amen.
Let's stand. Sing a song.